What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, episode 52, which means this is our one-year anniversary of the podcast. Derek, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm excited.
Yes. So with me, is Derek, and we're celebrating, even though I didn't give him any champagne or anything.
It's going to be just like this thing that we always talk about that never happens.
Yeah. I don't even know if I can. Like, I don't even know if I can order, because, like, I live in Pennsylvania, and our laws on alcohol are really odd.
Oh, really?
Like, I can't go across the street. There's, like, a 7-Eleven or whatever across the street. Like, there's no alcohol in there. You have to go to, like, a beer distributor or a liquor store.
Really?
Yeah, like, I can't just, like, go and, like, I can't go to the grocery store and get alcohol, which is the worst thing ever.
Really? I've heard of that.
Yeah,
like, but
it's a weird, Pennsylvania's super strict on a lot of stuff.
Huh.
And that's one of the things.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. So, like, when I was, like, a kid and I wanted to get alcohol, we had to, like, sit outside of, like, the liquor store and ask people to buy us alcohol.
Very classic.
Which works a lot.
Surprisingly well.
Yeah, when you were, like, you know, you just – I don't know what it was when you were, like, in high school. You just, like, really wanted alcohol for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we would just go – and we had – you know, you just, like, you first got your license and, you, like, we would go to the liquor store and, like, sit out there and, like, find some suspecting persons. Like, hey, man, we'll give you, like, $20 extra if you buy us whatever. And people were like, oh, yeah, sure. So, yeah. But anyways, 1 year of podcasting. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it just kind of, like, happened, too. It wasn't – it just flew by, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that we've been doing this for 1 year. I think we've gotten better since episode one.
I would say for sure we've gotten better. I would hope. You guys can tell us if we haven't.
Yeah, but I think I'm glad we do the podcast. I like the podcast.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
It gives me a reason to wake up on Fridays.
Yeah, and then it's a good reason to, like, get deep into the tech too. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
for
a good
sure. Yeah. So, talking about the tech,
right?
We'll start with our reviews this week, and we
have busy.
Four reviews this week. Tried to get five in there, but I kind of got caught up on some stuff. So we'll start with the CryoRig H5 Ultimate CPU cooler. This CPU cooler has been out for a while, and I love CryoRig. I haven't been disappointed by them yet.
Nice.
And so CryoRig kind of came about beginning of last year, maybe even like the end of 2014, we started to hear about them. And they basically make CPU coolers for the most part. And we started with, I think it was their R1 Ultimate was their first CPU cooler. And then we took a look at the H5 Universal, and now we have the H5 Ultimate. H5 Ultimate is a single tower cooler, air cooler, with a very large fan on it. Even though it is super big, it is extremely easy to install. And that's one thing I really liked about CryoRig is even though some of their coolers are really big, they're really, really easy to install, which I like. Great performance. In our new test group of coolers, it is the second best, which is really good, I think.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
It's not overly loud. Again, it has a larger fan on the front, so you may need to move the fan up if you have memory there. But that's not a huge issue. That's why they do make the universal version, which has the thinner fan.
Right.
But still, just everything about CryoRig, like, installation's easy. The cooler works great. No problems anywhere. Just a great overall cooler. And I think it's only $46. It's like $46.99.
That's so cheap.
Yeah, and if you look at some stuff from, like, Noctua or some of the other stuff, they're around $70 to $80 for the same performance. So, you know.
Really good value there.
Again, there's really not much bad I can say about this cooler, which is weird because I usually have some problem with something.
Typically,
you usually just find something, but everything about this cooler is great. Looks great too. It's just a good overall cooler, and I think they've done a really good job so far. So definitely check out the review to see what I thought, because I really do like the cooler.
I really like that it comes with the tool and everything you need.
Yeah, so that's a big thing that a lot of companies you know, sometimes leave out is the actual screwdriver that goes down into the cooler. You know, a lot of companies think, oh, somebody's going to have a screwdriver, but a lot of the, you know, they're too thick or something like that, and I've run into that problem. And Noctua is the same way. So they include the screwdriver, and I actually keep a Noctua screwdriver just at the test desk all the time.
Nice.
Just in case there's a CPU cooler that comes along that I need a longer, thinner screwdriver, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, they have everything that you need to get installed. You know, an installation is a 5-step process, which is really easy to follow. It's not hard at all. So, and I installed, this is a very large cooler. I installed it inside the case. I installed it with the graphics card installed as well. So that should tell you, you know, it's very easy to install.
Yeah. It's good. It looks really good too, I think.
Yeah. They do a great job with like aesthetics and making their coolers look great, cuz it's a CPU cooler. It's a heatsink. It's, you know, but they do a great job making it look good as well.
It doesn't just look like a massive hunk of metal. It looks stylish. It blends in with the rest of the case. It's modern looking, so.
Yes.
Good, right on for them. I wonder how well it would do if it had another fan put on the other side.
Yeah, so they have the ability to add another fan. They didn't send one.
Right.
So I really couldn't test that. But, you know, usually, so a lot of times when we do Noctua stuff, they send us a second fan. You'll see about a 3 to 5 degree difference sometimes, depending on the, you know, the cooler and the fan and all that. So
that's what I was kind of thinking, and that would put you right up into the top level there.
Yeah, for sure.
Our coolers we've tested have gone.
Yeah, definitely. So
definitely top level cooling at a very affordable price.
Yeah. I really like the price. I expect it to be more expensive, but it's not. So yeah.
Cool.
So talking about coolers, you took a look at an all-in-one liquid CPU cooler in Silverstone's TD03 Slim. And this is part of their slim line, which means the radiator is very, very thin, making it sort of ideal for those super small form factor systems.
Yeah, both the radiator and the fan are actually really, really thin, so it's cool. And as I said, with the TD03, which is the 240 version, this is the 120mm version. It's got to be the thinnest radiator that we've tested. I would say both for custom and for AIO, so that's really cool. And obviously with a radiator that thin, you start to lose out on performance, especially the fans aren't like ridiculously loud, so with a thinner radiator you'd want really, really high speed fans. This is still like a bearable sound level, so it's just not going to perform quite like a much thicker radiator would, but that's not the point, I don't think, and that's why I still gave it a really high score. The rest of the cooler is just really, really well built, like all the Silverstone products we've tested. And that's kind of key to me. It looks really good. It's tiny, like I've been saying, so it fits in like just about any, you know, case you could think of, you could probably fit this cooler into. And it's really easy to install. Awesome hardware. There's just really not much to complain about here other than it's just not going to be a top level performer, but you have to expect that when you're going into it, right?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that a lot of people will kind of be, you know, read the review and kind of be like, oh, well, it kind of performs not that great. But the thing about it is that it's not made to be the super highest, you know, high performance cooler. It's made to give you the quiet and silence of a AIO, but in a really, really small and compact form factor. So a lot of these super small cases that don't have a lot of room inside, this gives you the ability to, you know,
still have better than stock cooling.
Yeah, better than stock cooling. And, you know, a lot of CPU coolers won't be able to fit in such a small form factor either. You know, when you're getting into tower coolers or something like that, it's very hard to find ones that are super small that actually perform well.
Yeah,
you know, and this kind of gives you that in the extremely tiny form factor. So it's kind of cool that they've done this, because I think there are applications for this, and there are applications where people aren't going to be overclocking, where they're not going to be pushing their CPU that hard, but they want something that's quiet. They want the liquid cooling. So this kind of gives you the ability to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, you could bump It failed our 4.5 gigahertz test, but we probably could have done 4.3 and been fine. It did fail the Intel burn test, which kind of didn't surprise me, to be honest. But it did, like in Firestrike, it passed with, let me pull up the temperatures. I think they were reasonable for like gaming, because that'll give you an idea of like what gaming temperatures are going to be running Firestrike. So they were 71 as the max. So like that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like awesome, but as you said, this is probably going to go in like maybe like your LAN rig, right? And so it's going to keep it cool. It'll give you a decent overclock. If you really wanted to, you could do that 4.5 gigahertz overclock and just kind of hope that you're not going to, you know, keep an eye on your temperatures, I guess, would be the thing.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But again, I think this is for like those, even like, you know, like a home theater PC type thing
or something like
that's where you don't want this big case, you know, you want something super, super small. And I think this kind of solves that problem, but it is a give and take, right? If you know, it solves that problem, but again, you're not going to have the super high performance. But if you're doing just something, say like for a home theater PC, you're not going to be doing the hardcore gaming, really. You're going to be doing, you know, just playing video and things like that, where you're not going to need all of that you know, CPU horsepower, so your temperatures are going to stay pretty low as it is.
And with a because the 3770K is definitely one of the, I would say one of the, would you say, agree, one of the hottest CPUs to come out in, like, modern time?
Yeah.
So I think if you got, like a Skylake processor, it would probably be cooler. It would run cooler for you, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, moving on from that, I took a look at this keyboard that that I've been trying to get reviewed for a while. It is the Cougar 450K, and this is what Cougar calls their hybrid mechanical keyboard. So it is it's not a full mechanical keyboard, but at the same time, it's not exactly a membrane keyboard, I guess.
Dome key.
So basically what they've done is they've added a plastic mechanism that goes on top of the dome. And so you get that tactile feedback that you would from a mechanical keyboard.
Does it actually click?
Yes.
Okay.
Sort of. Yeah, it's kind of weird because I was like, okay, this isn't a mechanical keyboard, like you can tell.
Yeah.
But then I have what TT Esports keyboard I have here, but it's their like $20 one that's a full it's not mechanical, you know, it's dome all the way. I use that, and I use the 450K, and the 450K blows it out of the water as far as feel and everything like that. So it's kind of the in between. It's not mechanical, and you can tell if you use a mechanical keyboard, you can tell this is not mechanical. But if you use a membrane keyboard, you can tell it's not a membrane keyboard either.
So it really is what they're aiming for it to be.
Yeah, so it's a perfect in-between.
Nice.
The only downside to it I see is that it does not support other keycaps. So we've seen a couple other companies that they make keyboards like this with a different switch, but it supports Cherry MX keycaps. So you can actually change the keycaps out.
Right.
So
which would probably be the most popular keycap design.
Yeah, so the way they designed this, it doesn't work with that. So, you know, if I wanted to add, even adding like WASD keys or something that have a different feel to them or something, I couldn't do that. And I think that's the only downfall of this keyboard. The backlighting is kind of cool, but it's only three colors and it's not necessarily that bright. I wasn't anywhere impressed with it. But again, I think this keyboard, it's not all that expensive. It gives you the best in-between, which I like. Cougar's UIX software is actually awesome. It's their management software. So you can completely remap the keyboard, you know, change all the keys you want. You can set up macros. You can do all that kind of stuff. And this software works really well. So a lot of times with this software, we have issues where it's kind of laggy, and it's just like the keyboard's built well, but the software's kind of crappy. With this, we don't have that problem at all. Cougar's done a really great job on their UIX software. So just a good overall keyboard. And again, you don't have a problem with software. You can customize everything that you want. So for somebody who's maybe like a beginner who, you know, doesn't have $100, $120 to spend on a mechanical keyboard, this is a great alternative that will give you that same feel. You know, and it looks great. It has the same Cougar design we've seen in their other keyboards as well. It doesn't have the aluminum design, but it's really heavy-duty plastic. There's not a whole lot of give in the keyboard, which I like. So, yeah, I did like it.
Awesome. Yeah. How was the ghosting?
So, yeah, ghosting works. It works just fine. I did our test, and it's...
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you can...
Which is... ghosting is, if you don't know, it's where it can't handle multiple key presses. It stops differentiating between them, to anybody that doesn't know. So, like, anti-ghosting is... Or ghosting is usually a problem with membrane keys. It's just a thing that they don't handle well.
It's, yeah, we run a test. It's called the something whatever. And it will visually show you what you're pressing.
Okay.
So, yeah, it worked just fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, you do have that problem with membrane keyboards, but this didn't have it. Yeah, so I do like it. I think I was really turned off by it at first. I was like, this is just a gimmick to get people to think that it's really a mechanical keyboard when it's not. But the thing is, you have to realize it's not fully mechanical. But it gives you that same feel.
Accept what it is and that it's just something different.
Yeah. But again, if you use it, if you're using a membrane keyboard and you move to this, you'll be blown away. Nice. You know what I mean? But if you use a mechanical keyboard and you move to this, it will still feel decent, but it's not the exact same feel as mechanical.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Because I mean, they can't replicate like with the rollover, you know, of a mechanical key. Yeah. Where, like, you can feel right when it is rolling into that click, you know?
Yeah, you know when a mechanical key actuates, like you can tell. With this, it's a little different, but again, for the price, I don't think it's...
Yeah.
You know,
no, I think at the price, it's got a purpose. It serves a good purpose.
I just wish they would have made the keycaps so they're compatible with Cherry MX keycaps, just for the fact that... So, like, you know, I don't think it's that big, especially here in the United States, but if you go over to Asia or anywhere, and, you know, even in England, it's more prevalent that you see people have different keycaps, and you can buy all kinds of different keycaps, and they're all for Cherry MX keys. You know, so if I want to redo my function row with different colors or something like that, I can't do that with this keyboard. And I think doing that would have added so much more functionality to this keyboard.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so that was the thing that I just was kind of disappointing. But at the same time, not super expensive. You know, it is. I couldn't find it online, which is kind of weird.
really?
But it's supposed to have an MSRP of $59, which isn't expensive at all. So
this is not actually on the market.
It might be, but it's be really hard to find.
Okay. Huh.
But yeah.
Interesting that they would send it to you then.
Yeah, it might just, they might, like, again, there's still a lot of people having issues with getting stuff into the United States, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was not aware that was still going on.
Yeah, so I got a few packages today that came from Anchorage, Alaska, because that's where they're getting the stuff in.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're shipping way north and then down?
Yeah, then down through. So that could be an issue. It could be we see this a lot. Especially this past year with stuff that, like, they'll have a bunch and then it'll run out and then they have to wait for the next shipment to get through. But still, again, good keyboard. Definitely, if you're in that price range, it's definitely one to consider. Because you're really not going to find a mechanical that has all these features that this has for this price.
Yeah, so. And waterproof, which is nice.
Yeah, it's waterproof too, so you can...
Well, I guess I should say splash resistant.
Yeah, splash resistant, so you can kind of dump a drink on it and you'll be good. So.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yes. And then finally, I took a look at a Bluetooth speaker, and this one comes from Braven. It is their BRV1. And talking about being splash proof and everything, this Bluetooth speaker is waterproof, 100% waterproof, IPX7 certified. Nice. So, that means you can have it submerged in 1 meter of water for 30 minutes. Nice. Which is pretty cool and has a really rugged design, which I liked. You know, so you can basically throw this thing around, you can drop it, you don't have to worry about it breaking or anything like that.
Did you go swimming with it to test it?
I threw it in the snow. I threw it around. when we don't have a lot of snow anymore. But when we did, there's actually a photo. in the review. I took it out in the snow. It played fine. I just left it playing, and I kind of threw it around. I threw it off a wall. My neighbors were probably like, what is this guy doing? But yeah, it survived all of that. The only issue I have with this is that the sound isn't super impressive.
No.
It's good.
Is it really bassy?
It's not bassy. It's kind of it's kind of tinny.
Oh, really?
If that makes sense. Yeah, it's just not where I expected it to be.
The quality isn't great.
I think the main reason is because it's a single speaker. It's not dual speakers.
Oh, really?
So a lot of them you see dual speakers. This is a single speaker.
It's a single driver.
Yeah, it's a single 6-watt driver. So you know, that was the kind of downfall of this.
Surprising to me.
Yeah, it just and the thing
it's,
is,
it's large for.
It's not as large as you think it is.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, it looks very large in all of the photos and everything, but it's not as large as you think it is.
Okay.
When I took it out of the box, I was kind of surprised.
Okay.
So, it's still really great. You know, I directly compared it with the Daivoom Voombox Outdoor, which is another rugged type of speaker. The Daivoom definitely sounds better, but it has two 7.5-watt drivers.
I like my Daivoom.
Yeah, so the Daivoom I feel is a lot more heavy duty as well, but the Daivoom isn't waterproof. It's water resistant, so there's a big difference there. And obviously, there's more cost in getting the IPX7 certification and all that kind of stuff that goes with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of give or take. If you need something that's waterproof, this is definitely one of the speakers to go to. And again, while the sound isn't as great as I would have liked it to be, it's still loud enough that you can have it outside, like at a pool or campfire, and definitely any room in your house, unless you live in some crazy mansion, that this is going to fill up the room no problem. So,
yeah.
And another cool thing about this is it has a USB out, so you can charge your other devices.
Yeah, that's becoming that's like the newest thing to add to like create or make these also power banks. So, that's really nice. Especially when you consider you're using power from your phone, so you can actually just to play the music, you know, so you can actually connect it and keep your phone going.
Yeah, so that's a cool feature. Like I said, I did like it. If it had better sound, I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah, that can be. Yeah. I mean, it's a speaker, so that is its primary function.
Yeah. So. So yeah, it's kind of a give and take thing because there's not many waterproof ones out there.
Yeah.
So this one is completely waterproof, which is cool. And, like, you can pretty much throw this thing off a cliff and it will be fine, which is cool. Yeah.
Do you feel that the $100 mark, though, is suitable to it?
So the Daivoom one, which I felt is more heavy duty and sounded better, is $69 or $79.
Yeah.
And this one's $99. So it's kind of give and take. But, again, the Daivoom's not waterproof, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's water resistant, but at the same time, if something happens and it gets knocked into water, it's probably done.
You know? Yeah, probably.
So I think, it's kind of what you're going for. If you're going for waterproof, I think that this is a good solution.
Yeah.
But
understand what you're getting.
Yeah, understand what you're getting. We haven't reviewed any other ones that are 100% waterproof. This is the first one. So, you know, you kind of have to give and take there on this one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
it's still cool. Braven. So that's a new brand to me. Is that a new brand to you as well?
Yes. This is our first product from them.
So aside from, you know, it being waterproof, I kind of would have thought it would have been just a bit cheaper as their new product, but I guess that's just,
yeah, they make a bunch of different products. I think they're in that price range. And again, you have to look at the other waterproof ones, and they're all around the same price.
Okay.
You know, to get that to add that extra, you know, all the extra.
I do get that because in anything, just to become waterproof, you're way upping your price.
Yeah, so. And again, they're paying for the certification too. So that's a cost that they incurred. You know, when something gets certified with anything, there's a cost in that.
Yeah, which is beyond them just saying it's waterproof.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, I think the price is decent. I think, again, when you're buying this, you just know what you're getting. Yeah. And that's why we wrote the review. So,
cool.
So, yeah.
Cool, cool.
So, that is our reviews for this week. Some pretty cool stuff. Definitely a mix of things, not just all, you know, which is kind of nice. So, we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And if you don't know what Case Mod Friday is, you should. It is a section of the site where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community, and we've been doing that for longer than the podcast has been up. So,
I looked it up. It's at least 2 years.
Yeah. So we have 2 years of mods on the site, which is a lot. So this week we have the ROG box, which is an ASUS Republic of Gamers themed build by the guys over at GGF LAN Party, and they do some really cool builds. If you haven't seen any of their stuff, we actually link their website on the post here, so definitely check out a lot of stuff. This one is done in a custom Parvum case, which I'm a huge fan of, and I've been since we've kind of first heard of them.
Since they kind of popped up?
Yeah, since it kind of popped up. And the reason I like this build, it's just so clean and solid, and obviously has that whole ROG look to it. One thing that's cool that you don't necessarily notice is that the front of the case is actually a reservoir.
Yeah.
So he has the reservoir in the front of the case, but then the actual front of the case, the acrylic, is a reservoir as well.
Yeah, it kind of rings the 240mm intake on the front of the case there.
Yeah, so I think that's super cool. Just really clean lines in this, obviously matching the color, the ROG color. Just great. I think it's just so clean. I love clean builds like this.
Yeah. Well, he pointed out in the video, if you watch the video, it's actually worthwhile to watch, if whether you're into that sort of thing or not. It's kind of cool. He, instead of, like, you know, when you do a water cooling build, you go from the GPU to the CPU to the radiator to the pump, or to the reservoir to the pump, right? Or add in whatever in between. But he ran all of the lines to the back of the case and then connected them back there and then ran them, you know, connected all the components that way, which makes it, like, really, really clean looking. And I thought that that was something really worth... That's probably my favorite point of this build.
Yeah, so... In our post, we have a video where he goes over everything, and it is worth watching because it really shows you some of the stuff that's maybe not in the photos. The back part of the case, that's where he ran all of his water cooling, and he did something really interesting. So on the front part of the case, all of the fittings are sort of like this, they're like a darker chrome color.
Yeah, it's probably black chrome.
Yeah, and then on the back side of the case, where he has a little cutout that shows the water cooling on the back, he changed the color to white on the fittings, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that was pretty unique.
It's a really cool contrast and all of that. I thought that was really cool. And also on the back side of the case, there's a cutout for the power supply and all that kind of stuff. It's just a... I think it's just a solid build. And what's cool about it is that... This is something that anybody can do.
Other than some of the ROG, what do they call that? The design, like on the front. There's a couple of really like custom things, but they're really not like crazy custom.
Yeah. So this just shows you again. I think the things that would be the hardest thing to do in this would be the hard tubing.
The only hard part about that, too, is just getting... He has, like, perfect angles, right?
Yeah.
So that would be the hardest part, but it still wouldn't be. With some practice and being willing to throw away some tubing as you learn, you could do something very similar to this.
Yeah, so this just shows you if you have the time and you have the patience, you can really do a solid build. And what's cool about Parvum, the people who actually made the case for this, is that... They have their normal cases that you can just buy, but they also, if you hit them up, they'll make a custom case for you.
Right.
If you give them the specifications of what you want, they will make a custom case for you.
Yeah, so, like, the reservoir, that was a custom add-on feature. Yeah. And the neat thing, too, is, like, they're an intelligent company. So he has the reservoir in the front. Well, they just relocate the power button to the back for him.
Yeah.
Like that's just, like, well, duh, but I can see other companies, like, skipping that, you know? Just leaving the power button off.
Yeah, they do a lot of, like, Parvum's really, really cool, and they really do stuff, a lot of cool stuff for enthusiasts and people who want their own custom, one-of-a-kind thing. They'll definitely do it for you, so Yeah, definitely a great build. Again, GGF LAN Party has a lot of really cool builds. If you go to their website, there's a ton on there as well, so definitely check it out. But yeah, this is just really, really cool. I really like it.
Yep, just a clean, really, really clean, really clean build.
And I love the colors of ROG. You can't go wrong with the colors.
Yeah, the new gray.
I do like the new gray. The new
ROG. I guess this isn't new, is it? This is just gray with red. Yeah, the newest gray with that burnt orange, right?
Those are the extreme boards have that. Not all the new stuff. So the extreme boards have that sort of orange in there or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they're good colors, and they're really the design is just aggressive. It just feels very gamer-esque, right? Which makes sense because it's the Republic of Gamers.
Yeah. So. Just a great build. Definitely check it out, and definitely check out all the builds. We have a whole section, again, as Derek said, he looked it up. Almost 2 years of builds.
Where is it? I want to say it's even longer. We have been at that for a really, really long time.
Yeah, so definitely... It might even be 3 or 4. Definitely check that out, get some inspiration, see what's possible, especially if you're new into PCs and into being an enthusiast. Definitely some inspiration you can find there for sure. So
yeah, if you've never done it, it really shows you what you can do and what's possible. Yeah, 3 years in March 1st of 2013 was the first.
So
yep, we have been supplying you with inspiration for a good long while.
Yes, for sure. So let's jump right into the news. And we actually have some cool GPU news this week. So we'll start out with NVIDIA. And it's kind of been revealed, or sort of revealed, that the Pascal, their upcoming Pascal, which is their next gen using the HBM2, their GPU, their performance has sort of been revealed in academic slides. So... A paper was released about the benefits of new memory technologies, aka HBM2, and one of the slides shows the theoretical single and double precision performance numbers as far as compute goes on the Pascal GPU, and this is the first time we've seen anything like this. And this is somewhat credible, as this person is a NVIDIA CUDA fellow, which means that he's had access to the GPU, or at least to the testing information from NVIDIA.
Yeah.
So this is credible. It's not just somebody just made this up. And if we look at it, it basically has the double precision of the double precision or double oh, I can't it basically has the its double precision numbers are the same as the Kepler GK110 single precision. So if you don't know anything about double and single precision, double precision is usually lower and single precision is usually higher.
Right. So at any rate, if you just directly compare them, it's basically 3 times faster.
Yeah, it's basically 3 times faster. And the single precision is just off the charts. The single precision is just pretty crazy.
I guess we shouldn't say faster, though. That's not really right, is it? It has triple the compute power.
Yeah, triple the compute power. So we're talking about compute power. We're not talking about...
Clock speeds or
gaming numbers or anything like that. But this just gives you an idea that it is going to be pretty powerful. Anything with this high of compute power is going to be very, very powerful.
You would think that this would translate to at least twice as fast as Kepler in gaming scenario.
Yeah.
Maybe not. It really depends on the application and how it's written, but yeah, definitely going to be much faster.
Yeah. So
if this is what it ends up being, right? Because there was some speculation that these might not be official numbers, right?
Yeah. So we don't know what. This is an early sample of Pascal. It could, you don't know what actually was tested. We know that it was a Pascal GPU. We don't know if this person who wrote this specifically had the chip to test, or if it's just from NVIDIA numbers that were given to him.
Just somebody like him asking and then being like, well, it should be this.
Yeah, so we don't know. But this kind of gives you at least a little taste of what could be for the Pascal GPU, which is exciting because we haven't heard that much about Pascal in the past few weeks.
And in fact, they've not even shown it to the world yet.
Yeah, it hasn't even been shown, so...
Do you think that it's obviously possible, but what do you think the chances are that this is just, like, NVIDIA PR?
I don't think.
You don't think?
It's a real academic paper. I mean, you can go to
the source?
Yeah, the actual entire paper is on an academic website. You know what I mean?
So he did actually write this for something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not, like, just some weird thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like them releasing it so the hype gets built about it.
Yeah. So, pretty excited. Definitely, again, going to be a pretty cool year for GPUs, especially high-end GPUs. So,
if it's that fast, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So, we'll just have to see. And obviously, we'll keep you guys updated as kind of things trickle down and we get the information. So, going down to the low end of the NVIDIA side, it looks like NVIDIA is going to be working on a GTX 950 SE, which is a more crippled version of the GTX 950.
That seems like an absurd thing to say. Let's cripple the 950, which to me seems, kind of crippled.
Yeah, they're looking to release a card somewhere in a sub-140 range. The 950 is $140, I believe, right now. So basically what they're doing is they're looking for a true replacement for the GTX 750. Mm. And if you remember, the 750 was one of the first generation Maxwell cards. So basically what they want to do is they want to kind of replace that. So what they're going to do is take the 950 and, as I said, cripple it even more. So it will have one less streaming multiprocessor than the GTX 950. So that will give you 5 out of the 8 that are on the GM206 silicon. So if you do the math, that will give you a CUDA core count of 640, 40 TMUs, and a ROP count of 32, 128-bit memory bus, and it will have 2 gigabytes of GDDR5 memory.
2 gigs isn't bad.
Yeah, so, again, this is going to be targeted at people that want something discreet but don't want to spend, pretty much any money. But they want something better that's, better than the onboard graphics, right? Or better than the graphics that are maybe, say, on an Intel processor,
Or even just a step up from, because they make, what do they even call them? Just display cards,
Mm-hmm.
So that you can just, You'll need something so you can just run HDMI, right, for your home theater PC. This is just a step up from those two. I can't tell you one of the current models, but like a GT610 type thing.
So that's kind of the idea behind this. And again, it's just updating the product stack accordingly. So that's kind of what the idea. And they said it will be around 70 watt, which means it's either going to use a single 6-pin connector or none at all.
Extremely low power.
Yeah, and it said NVIDIA could be launching this right around March, so coming up.
It'll get you, what do you think? Could you play Warcraft on this?
Yeah, you could play Warcraft on it. You could play
Leagues, probably.
You could play League on it. You could play probably Counter-Strike.
Yeah, definitely the original concept.
Yeah, or no, you could play the new one.
You think you could play the new one?
Yeah, you could turn stuff down. So this is, for a lot of those people who are playing games like League and things like that, that want a little bit better performance than what you're going to get, from integrated
onboard
graphics.
Onboard
graphics. So that's kind of the idea behind this. And again, it's just, they're just updating the product stack. So from, Maxwell, the first generation to the second generation Maxwell that we have with the 950. So that's the whole idea, and it just makes sense for NVIDIA to do it. So
yeah, they're not cards we're drooling over there or we'll even look at again, but it's still, they all serve a purpose.
Yes,
definitely.
So we'll go over to the AMD side. It's been a while since we've had decent news GPU wise on both AMD and NVIDIA, I think.
Yeah, usually we're one or the other.
Yeah, so it looks like we have the actual die size of the Polaris chip.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. So this is kind of weird how this all came about. So the information comes from a LinkedIn profile of a former senior engineer at AMD. And on his LinkedIn profile, he actually gives the details of the projects he was involved in.
Yeah.
And on we have a screenshot of his profile, and he lists Project F, which is a GPU, 14 nanometer node.
Yeah.
And he gives the size of it, which is odd.
Do you think it's like him trying to get back or something?
No, because he lists it for all. Like, if you look at all of this stuff, he has a bunch of them listed.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I think he just had this on there, and who knows?
Maybe it's just a lack of understanding of that industry and how.
Yeah.
You know what job? What are the job requirements? What you would actually list? So.
Yeah. So the reason we think this is Polaris, one, because it's 14 nanometer node, and that's what Polaris is supposed to be. They haven't built anything they haven't built any GPUs on 14 nanometer, so. That's one thing.
And it's Samsung.
Yeah. And, yes. So, and we know that they're doing the deal with GlobalFoundry and Samsung on this, and that's also listed there.
Right.
So this just gives you an idea of the die size. You know, it's something to definitely...
Which is neat, because then the graphic makes sense.
Yeah.
It's larger, which is interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I think that... you know, it's cool to see these little things come out, right? These, like, little tidbits of information come out because we don't know a whole lot, especially... And this is also with the... and on the NVIDIA side, too, these new next-generation GPUs, it's so much fun to kind of get these little tidbits of information that kind of get leaked out, you know?
Yeah, they kind of string us along.
Yeah, they basically string us along until we get the actual information. But definitely cool to see. Definitely cool to see information on both sides this week, so... Definitely exciting time, as I said, for GPUs this year, especially as we get closer to big events like Computex and all that. So
yeah, definitely.
So talking about a really cool card from AMD, XFX released a new R9 380, which isn't anything to really talk about, I would say.
No. Rebranded card.
Yeah. But what's really cool about it is that it has a switch on it that will make it a 380X, which I think is really cool.
I think that's really cool. It's really kind of funny.
It's kind of a little too late, I feel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just it's cool that they do that, and it's priced at, I believe, the same price as a 380. So basically, you're getting a 380X.
Yeah. I mean, you've been able to do this with AMD cards for a while, just changing out the BIOS, because the full card is still there from, you know, one model to the next.
Yeah.
But, like, to have the board partner actually put a switch on to do it is kind of funny to me.
Yeah, so this is the XFX Radeon R9 380 Crimson Edition, and it's actually a pretty cool-looking card. I think this is a really cool-looking card. It has an all-red shroud, but the thing that's kind of disappointing about this card is it's only made for the Asian market. It's not made for the US, so we won't see it here. But if you're looking in this price range, it's pretty cool that you have the ability to do that. It's just like you said, it's a simple switch on the card that switches the BIOS, and you have a 380X. Boom.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Which gets you. Do we have a percentage gain?
I think it's 10%, 10 to 15%.
That's legit.
Yeah, so probably in game you would see between 5 to 10 frames. It's probably 5 to 7 frames a second difference.
But that could easily be the difference between playable and non-playable.
Yes, for sure. So definitely cool. I think that AMD kind of is a little lax now since this has all been out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's the 380, the R9 380, and the 380X have themselves been out a while, and not only that, but they are, of course, rebrands from the 200 series, so it's a well-played-out GPU.
Yes. So, that's just really cool. I think, sadly, we won't see it in the U.S. unless you find some way to order one, and it'd just be way too expensive to get it over here, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, but a really cool looking card, and I thought that was really cool. We definitely wanted to point that out to you guys, because I think that's something cool that that XFX is, you know, is doing with that card. So I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's something cool that's out there.
Yes. So, talking about new stuff, Gigabyte unveiled a new Socket AM3 AMD motherboard, which is kind of weird. A lot of people think it's weird, but so AMD had this initiative, which I'm not sure a lot of people talked about, where they promised to bring modern connectivity and modern features to their motherboards. So you're actually, and we saw it last week and the week before too, is that you're going to see a bunch of new motherboards come out, AM3 motherboards for AMD, because I think the AMD crowd is kind of feels left out when it comes to this modern connectivity stuff, like USB 3.1, yeah. M.2, NVMe, all this stuff. So this is the new flagship AMD motherboard from Gigabyte. It's their 990FX Gaming. It's a pretty nice looking board. It follows their gaming line, Gigabyte's gaming line, has their dedicated amp up audio. It does have a M.2 slot, and it also has USB 3.1. So those are, again, those are the big things that all of these, you know, all of the AMD guys are missing, is this modern stuff that we get on the Intel side. So you do have that on this board, and it is a nice looking board. It has the metal around the PCI Express slots, which is something we saw new with Z170 on the Intel side. It's a good looking board. And it's good to see AMD make this push for the desktop enthusiast. This is something that we kind of, you know, because AMD hasn't put out anything really significant, we haven't seen a lot of really cool gaming or enthusiast boards come out for a while.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer that it's not happening.
Yeah, so if you're in the camp now where you're looking to get to upgrade or something on the AMD side, you're not as distraught because now you have that modern connectivity.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So
yeah, it's really good. It's odd to me that they're not putting the in and out shroud on these board on the AMD boards.
The what?
The IO shroud. To cover all the ports, the connections.
Oh, I just don't think that that's something that they're going to do with this.
Yeah. I mean, like, all of the Z170 boards came with it, right?
Yeah.
For the most part. And I think it looks great. I think it's one of the best features to be added to motherboards in recent times. Just cover that stuff up, because it doesn't... It's one of the worst-looking parts of the board, I think. I just don't... Why not add it to the AMD board while you're upgrading it, you know?
I think because AMD is kind of cost... effective. This board's only going to be around $150.
Oh yeah.
You know, so that has a lot to do with it too. I think that we're probably going to see that on the next
AM4 boards.
Yeah, when we see Zen and all that, we'll probably see a lot of that because that will be the big push.
Okay.
But I think this is just adding the modern connectivity, adding better audio, adding some of the features that all of us Intel users have. So they're going to be doing it on the on the AMD side. So. Gotcha. So it's good to see. It's good to see AMD guys get that modern connectivity, for sure. So, definitely talking about cool stuff. Li and Li announced a new case this week, and this one follows their classic design, which I'm a huge fan of. That's kind of how I fell in love with computer cases, was through the AMD or not AMD Li and Li's original case series was just amazing, and so this new one is the PC7N, and it is a mint tower. It looks like the old school Li and Li cases, which is awesome. Internally, they've changed some stuff around to make it kind of fit the modern design and all of that, but it's just a solid, all, you know, you have that awesome aluminum all over.
It is really, really nice, the aluminum they use. It's so much classier than the plastic paneling and parts that we see on most cases these days.
Yeah, it's just really, really cool to see this. It's great to see them kind of go back to their roots, which made them extremely popular in the beginning anyways. So it's just great to see that. And I think this case is only going to be $100.
No way.
Yeah, $100.
That's extremely cheap.
Yeah, so it'll be available at the end of this month. So if you're looking for an old-school-looking Li and Li case, and I know so many people that use the really old ones, just because. And without, you know, with those ones, you don't get the modern connectivity. You know, you don't get the USB 3.0 on the front or anything like that. Then you don't. Things aren't built for 2.5 inch drives.
Removable and, drive bays.
Yeah, they're not, you know, so this kind of brings the modernness to the inside of the case, but still that awesome classic look on the outside, so.
I think it's funny, it's got water cooling ports on the back. I haven't seen those, we haven't seen those for a while.
You see them on a bunch of cases still.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in a while.
Yeah, a lot of companies still do that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely, it's nice to see this, for sure. So, definitely check this out. If you're looking for a new case and you want that old school Li & Li look, this is definitely the case to do that. So.
Nice.
Talking about another launch this week, we saw it at CES, we covered it at CES. Mm-hmm. Synology finally launched their first ever router, which is the RT1900AC. And it's cool to see this because Synology, we know for their network-attached storage, now this is their first ever router. And the big thing with this router is that it's made to be very user-friendly, which is nice. You know, their software that's supposed to be with this, it's super easy to set stuff up, super easy. You know, like, even setting what people can and cannot do on the network is such a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not easy. It's not easy for parents to set things up or anything, you know.
Yeah, pretty much anybody without extra knowledge of computers and networking devices, it's going
to
be hard.
Yeah, so this is really, it's made to be really easy to use. I think there's actually an app, too, that you can do it all on your phone, which is kind of cool, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually have one here. They sent me one. I just did the unboxing, so I haven't plugged it in yet. But nice. I'm excited to take a look at it and see what it's all about. And it's supposed to be pretty affordable, $149.99. It has storage on it, too, so you can attach a USB drive to it. It supports USB 2.0 and 3.0. So you can plug in, you know, a flash drive and have storage that way. It also has an SD card. So if you wanted to, if you took photos and you want to share them on the network, you can go ahead and do that as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, has all the stuff that you would expect, beamforming, all that kind of cool stuff.
It's 1900 AC.
Yeah. So it seems pretty solid from what I've seen so far. I'm going to be setting it up this weekend and I'll be doing a whole video on how easy it is to set up once you first plug it in. So.
Yeah, seems pretty feature-rich for a $150 router.
Yes, so that's kind of the cool thing about it. And it did win a CES Innovation Award. So,
cool. For the software, basically, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, really excited to take a look at it. And I believe you can buy this now on Newegg and Amazon. So.
Awesome.
So, yes. So we're going to move into gaming news, and there's some really cool gaming news this week. It's actually a great weekend for gaming, which we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. But so Doom closed alpha screenshots have been leaked. They had the closed alpha for Doom, and somebody on the Doom World forums listed everything, because he played in the alpha. He listed everything that he found out, and we have it all listed there for you. You know, and we have a whole section of the leaked screenshots, too. So if you want to see what Doom's kind of shaping out to be, obviously it's in closed alpha, so it's not, you know...
not even close to finished.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not all the way there yet, but a lot of cool stuff. It's cool to see it. A lot of the cool demons and things that you would expect to be in Doom are there, and they kind of list all that as well. And you get to see some of the different menus. Somebody took a screenshot of all the different menus, so you can see all the video options and everything that you can change. One cool thing that's in there is there's a new difficulty setting called Nightmare, which should be pretty fun to play once you get it all set up. But definitely check out the post. We have all the screenshots there. I'm excited for Doom. I think that was one of the first PC games I ever played. And
I kind of can tell you're really excited for this.
Yeah, I like Doom. I like the whole setting of Doom and all of that. And I think that this time they're going to do it right, because the previous games didn't really pay off. Like, they just didn't do it for a lot of gamers, you know.
Okay.
So I think they're actually doing this right. They're building it up. They're, you know, testing it with different users. There's, you know, they're doing cool stuff. And I think the story mode is actually going to be pretty good, so.
Yeah. Which would be awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't cripple it for PC.
Yeah, I would hope not.
Yeah. So,
because that's really, it's one of those original PC games. So.
Yeah, so that's the only thing. Also this week, we have some news about Just Cause 3, which I've never played, but it just looks like a lot of fun.
Never played 3. I played 2. Was it? I couldn't get into it.
Really?
It was too open worldy for me, I guess. Like, I didn't give it a ton of, I didn't give it a like a huge amount of effort to try to like really get into it, but like, I wasn't enjoying myself. I didn't feel like I had enough direction in the beginning, so okay. I just kind of gave up.
Okay.
But people love this game. Yeah, friends of mine love this game.
Yeah, so people do love this game. A lot of gamers play it. And something that's really cool that was announced this week is that they'll be having 3 expansions all coming out this year. So right. If you're a Just Cause 3 player, this is definitely awesome news for you. With that, they announced a expansion pass, which will give you access to all 3 of them, or you can buy them individually. But if you do buy the expansion pass, you get the expansions 1 week before everybody else.
Yeah.
And the expansions probably, most likely, they only announced the price for the first one, but the first one's $11.99. But if you buy the expansion pass, it's $24.99. So if they're all going to be $11.99, you're definitely going to be saving money that way as well.
Yeah.
So the 3 expansions, the first one is Sky Fortress, the second one is LAN Mech Assault, and the third one is Bavarium Sea Heist. So obviously with those, there's new missions added, there's new tools and weapons and vehicles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I believe that Sky Fortress is coming out very soon. It will be released next month. So the first expansion will be released next month, and they actually put up a trailer for it.
Yeah, so, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely looks pretty cool. It's good to see games like this get get more content.
Yeah, this is a huge expansion.
Yeah,
so a game that's actually been out for a couple of years now.
I think
I might be wrong. 1 year.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So it's good to get that because yeah. You know, it comes to a point where you're like, okay, I've done everything in the game.
Definitely.
So
by now, if you're playing it the whole time,
yeah, it's good to. And this was, I don't think that they had originally. I don't know if they might have had it planned, but it wasn't really announced that they would have extra content. So. Having the extra content, definitely cool. And it's definitely cool that they have the pass, which gives you access to all 3, and it's probably cheaper than buying all 3 separately, and it gives you access a week before everybody else, which is cool.
Nice.
Yes. Love so
extra features.
Our final piece of gaming news is that it looks like NVIDIA will be bundling The Division with select GeForce graphics cards. So, The Division, of course, is one of the most popular or most anticipated games coming out in March, March 8th, I believe is when it comes out. So, NVIDIA, if you buy a new GeForce GTX 970, GTX 980, and GTX 980 Ti, as well as notebooks with the GTX 970M and 980M, will get free copy of Tom Clancy's The Division, which is cool.
Yeah,
I think that's great. They're currently giving away Rise of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, which I got, and it's a really good game.
Yeah, so it's cool that they're kind of changing it up, and I think that this will definitely bring some sales their way because a lot of people have been expecting The Division, and it's a great game so far. So,
and it explains why the Tomb Raider. The included content or the included game of Tomb Raider is ending soon. In fact, it might already be too late if you're buying one right now. So, kind of explains why they're doing that.
Yeah,
because if you buy a top end card now, you kind of expect to get a full game, full AAA title.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. So
yeah, which is awesome because that didn't used to happen.
Yeah, not at all.
So
yes. So coming up to next week. We have some awesome reviews coming.
Yeah.
We'll start it out with the review that I wanted to get done this week. It just didn't happen. Was the Gigabyte X99P SLI, which is, again, sort of the last hurrah for X99 boards. This has the true Intel USB 3.1 controller with Type-C, 32 gigabit a second. That's the big thing about this. But they've added a lot of cool stuff to this board. Really, really good board. Definitely a solid board if you want to go the X99 route. Just a really nice board. So it's on the test bench now. We will have the review for you next week.
Nice.
And then I'll be taking a look at a gaming laptop from Lenovo. This is their IdeaPad Y700 Touch, which means touchscreen, obviously. Yeah. This is their gaming laptop, and they've really done a great job. You really don't think Lenovo when you think of gaming laptop, but this laptop has really impressed me. Really, really like it. Great sound on it. Great gaming features on it. It has JBL speakers on it.
How's the display?
1080p. Okay. Which is great, but it looks great.
Good color,
everything like that. I've played a good amount of games on it. And what's really cool is they sent me all their gaming accessories.
Nice.
So if you didn't know, Lenovo has this thing now where they're making gaming mice, and they're making they gave me a backpack that comes with it, which is one of the best laptop backpacks I've ever used.
Nice.
And a gaming headset. So it's a very – and it's one of the better headsets that I've used too. So I think they're really seeing that a lot of gamers are actual mobile gamers. They're laptop gamers, and they've built this laptop, and now they're building the accessories with it. So I'll be covering all of that in my review. Just a great overall laptop. I really use it, and I've kind of replaced my Ultrabook with this since I've had it for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really powerful. You know, when you're doing stuff, you know, with an Ultrabook, if you open too many tabs or something, it kind of slows down a little bit, and you know,
just don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, so this has a lot of cool stuff on it. Great looking laptop, really great backlighting on the keyboard. It's red. It looks really cool. So yeah, really excited to get this review out to you guys. It's a really great laptop. So.
Nice.
Definitely stay tuned for that. And then I'll be taking a look at a gaming mouse as well. So I'm taking a look at the CM Storm Zornit 2, which is their claw grip mouse. This is the second revision of it. And it's a really nice mouse. It's a smaller mouse, but it has that claw grip. Really cool. 3200, or the it's optical sensor. It's the Avago 3320 optical sensor, up to 3500 DPI. It has Omron switches, which we know are some of the best. Especially for gamers, just a great thing. It's gonna be weird because I don't use a claw grip, but it's gonna be interesting to use it.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, and this has their new CM Storm software, so I haven't used that yet. So I'm kind of interested to see how that compares. Because again, we talked about earlier in the podcast is that a lot of these products are good, but the software sucks. Yeah. So hopefully, this has good software as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to take a look at that. And we will be doing our water cooling 101. So we'll be doing a water cooling 101 article. Which one is it? This will be, what, 4 or 5?
Four. And we are finally actually building our loop, actually. Yeah.
So we will be doing – the last one we did is we did – it was prepping everything, right?
Yeah, it was getting all of our parts ready to go. And now we are finally – and sorry it's taken so long, guys, but I had a lot of stuff in between.
Yes.
We are finally putting it together.
Yes, so we're finally putting it together. So if you've been waiting for us to build that water cooling rig, it is happening. And we'll have a full article, obviously, on how to do everything. And that's kind of the whole thing behind this is, you know, how to do water cooling. That's the whole idea of this article series. So this will definitely show you how to get that loop installed and get everything kind of up and running. So
sorry, this is actually episode 5.
So. 5, that's what I thought.
Yeah, lost one there. But yeah, so it's been a long time coming. I'm pretty excited for it. A lot of fun building it the other day. I am just working on testing and writing.
Yes. So definitely excited for that. And that's what's coming up. So at the end of the podcast, we always talk about what we did this past week. What did you do, Derek?
Anything? I saw Deadpool, but yes. I think we already talked about Deadpool.
We did, because I saw it, and you hadn't seen it yet last week.
Correct, yeah.
Which
is awesome, obviously.
Yes, very awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely go see it. I don't think I did anything this week.
No?
A lot of writing.
Yeah, I did very little gaming. I'm not really sure what happened to my life this week.
Talking about gaming, I'm going to be doing a lot of gaming this weekend. So we have Division Open Beta, which started today for everybody. If you were on Xbox One, it started yesterday for you, so probably I'll be playing that today, tomorrow, and Sunday. If you're not into the Division, there's also Hitman Beta for PC, Open Beta. So if you want to check out Hitman, you can do that. If you're in the Paragon Alpha, they're having a test, and they're doing crossplay, which is cool. So if you're on PC, you'll be able to play with people who are playing on PS4, which is cool.
Yeah, it'll make you feel a lot better about yourself.
Yes. So we played Paragon last... Did we play last
Yeah, time? I did play that for the first time. Yeah, we played that on Saturday.
Yeah, so it's this Saturday. It's another alpha test, which I really like the game. It's
a really cool game. Yeah. It has a lot of fun.
So I don't know. I'm probably going to be doing a lot of the Division. I might check out Hitman just to do it.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a fun game fun weekend for gaming. Definitely excited. Hopefully I'll get some work done in between all this.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the tough thing about like wanting to play these games, because like the beta only runs for so long and you want to get as much gaming in as you can. But at the same time, we have all this work to do.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but life still exists.
Yeah. So
unfortunately.
But yeah, guys, if you're at home this weekend, definitely there's at least two games that you can play for free this weekend, being Hitman and The Division. Definitely check them out. I know I'm going to be playing Division for sure. So definitely check all that out. As always, guys, if you're listening to the podcast, we have all of our show notes up on the podcast page on the site. So if you're going through and you're listening to the podcast and you want to check out something, you can obviously have all of the links right there. Obviously, Think Computer's all one word on iTunes and pretty much every other podcasting service. So that pretty much wraps it up. Until next week, guys. Catch you guys later.